So basically, at one point, I had to carry a little bag to carry everything around with me. I had the iPod, I had a camera, and I had a regular phone, and a phone that I used for text messaging and emails and stuff like that. Four things. One thing. I want to get up, grab my wallet and my iPhone, and walk out of the house and jump in my car and go. I never forget my phone, and that's everything all in one for me. That's my lifeline. Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to the Hulkcast, the best 30 plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Airfront Elijah. Joining me today, he's the founder of Cult-O-Mac and creator of the Keynote Keg Stand, where your mates hold your legs and you drink from the keg during the entire Apple keynotes. Leander Caney is here.
Hello, Airfront.
And boy, is his liver tired. Also with us, he doesn't just share an office with Leander Caney. Sometimes after a night of Stella's at the pub, they also share the same jail cell. Lewis Wallace is here.
Hey, that was supposed to be expunged from my record.
Well, you're on probation. You got to have good behavior before they wipe it out. So it's still public record. I hate to break it to you.
I can't wait to get this ankle bracelet off.
I just did a search and I found the entire case. Let me just say, wow.
Wow. The internet.
We've got lots of great Apple stories to talk about this week. I actually wrote out all the notes, and I was looking at it, and I had put in this big segment about Jeff Williams, Apple's COO, potentially the next CEO. Leander, did you read that story this week?
I wrote that story in my mind.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't remember you being on the byline at over at Bloomberg.
It was in the book, you know, my book about Tim Cook. I was going on about how Jeff Williams, I mean, he's been tapped as a, you know, tagged as a potential replacement for a while.
Well, I gotta admit, I was reading the stories, not your wonderful book, which everyone should definitely read, but the stories, and I was like, this is so boring. We can't talk about this. This is like, there are so many Apple stories every week that come out. Like, perfect example, the story today where Apple is buying Intel's cellular modem business. Big story, big news, probably one of the biggest stories of the week. But what are we going to say about it, the modem business, that's going to make anyone want to listen? Is there anything that you can come up with, Lewis? Can you come up with a big aha byline that's going to make people go, oh, I want to listen to that story?
Pass.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought.
I thought the interesting. How many people do they say they purchased? Like, how many employees?
How many people do they say they purchased? I'm not sure. I don't think that's legal anymore.
I think is the term.
Acquihire, exactly. Right? Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, no, they're not slaves, right?
Yeah. Well, we'll see, like, how many hours a week they have to work.
Right. And it is Apple. They're slaves now.
Yeah. While they're developing the modem for the 2020 iPhone. I didn't actually catch 2200
that. 2,200 people. That was what surprised me. I'm like, how did 2,200 people work on a modem?
Yeah, that is surprising, isn't it? But they had 17,000 patents. 17,000 patents. So clearly there's a large team doing something to create that many patents. It's also kind of surprising that you can come up with that many patents for one type of technology, right? That's pretty incredible. Anyway, my point being, see, we've already done the full extent. That's all there is. So I'm glad I pulled that story out, because I feel like we got some more interesting stuff to talk about this week. Let me just run through the entire docket. I think you'll agree these are some choice tidbits, and you're going to want to stay tuned to the very, very end. Here we go. First story. The rumored 16-inch MacBook Pro. It looks like we might have an idea of how much it's going to cost, its start price, and when it might be released. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Another big story this week, which got tons of outrage. I rarely see as many comments as we got on the Cult-O-Mac story page for this story, and also on Reddit and stuff. People were pissed. This is about BMW and how they're going to be implementing CarPlay into their future cars. And if you've ever owned a BMW, I'm a former BMW owner. I've got some real big stories that you wouldn't believe about my previous BMW. But once you've owned a BMW, this story is going to make perfect sense, because they're kind of wacky. We'll talk about some features added to a really popular podcasting app that were features that I was literally just bemoaning last week that didn't exist. And poof, out of the blue, all of a sudden they exist now. And I think it proves that there's a very well-known someone who listens to this show on a weekly basis. We have, you guys wouldn't believe, you guys wouldn't believe the high tier level of executives, Apple executives and Apple ecosystem personalities that listen to this show, stealing our ideas left and right. So we'll talk about that. And there's a little bit of smoke on the Apple car front. This story just keeps popping its head out. Every time we think that the Apple car is dead, Apple does something that makes you lift one eyebrow like The Rock and say, what's going on over there? There's more to this story than they're letting on. So we'll touch on that. And I have a absolutely delicious tip for you guys. If you like to send text messages, there's something I stumbled onto this week that completely surprised me. I kind of knew it might be there somewhere, but I didn't know how to use it. And now I'm using it every single day. So I have a really great Apple Messages tip for you. And we're going to wrap up with an all new What We're Into, where we talk about the things that we're currently liking in our lives. It could be a movie, it could be a video game, it could be something that, well, anything that's not really technology related, you know. So before we dive into the first story here, Lewis, I know you're very excited to talk to us today about the Apple, or about the Cult of Mac Apple Watch store. And we got a big sale going on right now. Is that right?
Yes. And oddly enough, I don't know if you heard that notification that I just heard.
Yeah. I did hear that.
I just turned them off. Okay.
Dear Lord. But
it's important that I heard that, because it was confirmation that, in fact, this sale is going to be on for the next 2 weeks, or at least it says, I think the sale's on for 2 weeks.
Good one.
I guess we'll just go with it.
Yeah, let's check on that after the show. Make it happen. Make some executive decisions.
Sorry, you missed the window. Anyway, yeah, so we got these things. They're these Apple Watch bands. They're made by this company called Riley and Lowe. We've talked about them on the show before. We talked about them on the website before. They're these sort of – they look kind of like those Spidel Twist-O-Flex bands, right? They're stainless steel. They're stretchy. They got the – you know, basically the segments of metal, right? They come in multiple colors that match your Apple Watch. And they're on sale now. They cost a lot less than what you would spend at an Apple store, of course. And now they're on sale. Like, if you buy a band – you can get a, what do they call it, a stretch bracelet. Is that what it's called? A stackable bracelet, right? A stacking bracelet. I
describe it, because I don't even know what that is.
It's basically like a little miniature version of the band that looks just like it, in the same color, and you wear it alongside the watch.
It's like an accessory.
It's like a bangle. It's like a bracelet.
My language.
It'll look great on your petite little wrist, Irfan.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're cool. They're these stretch link bands, and right now, if you buy the band itself, get the stacking bracelet for 50% off.
There
so instead of paying, for instance, $60 for the two, you only pay $50 for the two. What a great deal!
Fantastic deal.
And where can you find this? store.cultofmac.com. That's where you'll find all of our watch bands that we have. These are things that we've tested out, things we like. It's just even some things that are beyond Apple Watch bands now at this point. We've got some chargers and things like that, but it's all stuff that we think is
high quality, very
stuff.
Curated. When you said we've got stuff that we like and we even have stuff, I thought you were going to say that we don't like. store. I was like, I was doing that motion across my neck. I was like, let's not talk about those.
None of that.
Okay.
No, it's all stuff we stand behind.
Fantastic. Only high quality stuff. Okay. Let's jump into the first story here. The rumored 16-inch MacBook Pro. This is the big one. The one that we've been waiting for. The one that I hope Apple is going to add some more common sense I/O back to. Am I living? Is this a pie in the sky pipe dream? I hope not. We'll see though. But according to the Economic Daily News, they say that the new MacBook Pro, the 16-inch, well, first let's talk about release date. Probably going to come in October alongside a new 13-inch version of the MacBook Pro and MacBook Air. They say the starting price, the base price of the 16-inch MacBook Pro is going to be between $3,000 and $3,300. $1,000. You know what?
A bargain.
You know what? I'll take two. I'm gonna have one. I'm gonna be like one of those keyboard players. I'll have one under each hand.
Like a grand piano, right? Like Yanni or whatever his name is.
Oh, boy. Boy, we had a Bengals reference and a Yanni reference all in one show. Boy, this is my favorite show that we've done this year. Yeah, exactly. You're going to have one for each hand. And at $3,300, it's going to be a screaming good deal. But, you know, I was thinking that's a lot of money, of course. But the machine that I have now was $4,000. I don't mind spending money on a machine as long as they don't have the base model come with 128 gigabytes of storage, you know, and 16 gigabytes of RAM. Like, if they're going to make a really expensive base price for this professional MacBook Pro, they better have all the accoutrement in there. They can't be nickel and diming us for, oh, do you want to have, 512 gigabytes of storage? That's going to be another $400. No, you just need to give me all the crap right from the get-go. It's got to be like the Mac Pro, right? It has a high price, but they basically give you everything that you need at the base price level. There's nothing else that you really need to add to it unless you're doing something specialized, like you want to have, 18 cores instead of 8 cores. But most people are fine with 8 cores. So October is the timeline, it looks like, and this echoes other stories that we have talked about in the past. It looks like this might actually happen. The report goes on to say that the laptop will have a 3072 by 1920 LCD screen. This is probably going to be Apple's Liquid Retina technology, which basically just means it's going to have rounded corners at the corners of the LCD, like on the iPhone XR, like the one that I have. You know, they're able to cram a lot of pixels in so they can actually round the corners of the screen. They'll make the screen. The laptop will probably be the same size. It's just the screen's going to take up more real estate because they can shrink the bezels and round the corners and have the actual screen take up more space. So it's largely going to be the same size. But I'm praying, please, at the very least, bring back the SD card slot. That's something that Phil Schiller said wasn't a pro port, but I use that probably 3-4 times a week. And there are countless instances where I need to import, images or video or something. And I can't because I don't have my adapter with me. And this gall darn machine only has USB-C, no USB-A. I'm going to resist the urge to go on a tirade about this, but
I could feel it building like a giant
it's
wave.
It's just right there. It's just trying to come out. It's trying to climb. It's like an alien in my chest in that movie. It's just trying to like bust its way out. But I'm going to flex and I'm going to hold it back. Okay, let's move on to this BMW story, which I think got like 150,000 comments on Cultamac this week because people were so pissed. Have either of you guys ever owned a BMW?
No, I'd like to.
Yeah, that's what you think.
Oh, really? What, yours is a lemon?
Well, they're all lemons. They're all lemons.
Come on.
That's the secret. Yeah. Here's what I think. BMW, they make cars for people that want to buy brand new cars. They don't give a shite about people buying used BMWs, which is why used BMWs are so inexpensive, because once they're out of warranty, that's when everything starts breaking and it's really expensive to repair BMWs. I don't know if I ever told this story on the show before, but one time I got into my BMW and there was this giant bubble cyst looking thing in my rear view mirror. And I was like, what is this? So yeah, it was like, it looked like a bubble had formed inside the rear view mirror. So I get online and it turns out that this particular rear view mirror
is swelling battery, right?
No. It's filled with a electromagnetic fluid that the car uses to dim the mirror. So it automatically dims the mirror. And these seals around the mirror commonly go bad, of course, when they're out of warranty, right? And I was like, well, I'll just leave it. But I keep reading, no, you can't leave it because this liquid is highly caustic. It's like that blood inside of the aliens, not to use a second aliens reference, but it's exactly like that. Like if it starts dripping out, which eventually it does because it's highly caustic, it will eat away at your dashboard and everything else inside your car. So you have to fix it. And guess how much the dealership wants for a new rearview mirror? $800.
What?
They wanted $800. And I was like, hell no. I am not giving this dealership $800.
Stealership.
Yeah.
Did you say stealership?
That's a term that I found, I discovered in the BMW forums. Yeah, the stealership. Because anytime you want anything, they want to steal like $1,000 from you. So
that is outrageous. Could you go to a wrecking yard and get one?
Maybe, but it's a pretty specific part. And so what I did was, I thank God for the BMW forums. I went and I found that there is a small little repair shop that you can send your rearview mirror to, and for $150, they'll fix it for you and send it back to you.
Hmm.
So I sent it in, and for that entire week, I used my iPhone front-facing camera as my rearview mirror. So I just I posted my phone. I actually have a picture of this on my Instagram account. I posted my phone in a little iPhone holder, and then I just turned it on to selfie mode so I could see what was going on.
You're kidding me.
I'm dead serious. It worked pretty well, too. It worked pretty well. I mean, it didn't work great in all lighting conditions, because sometimes it would be like too bright or too dark, but you know, it worked like 80% of the time. And then I got my mirror back. Anyway, all this to say, BMW is a quirky company, and if you've ever owned a BMW, this story is not going to surprise you at all. So here's the actual story. BMW has decided that it's going to charge customers an annual fee if they want to use CarPlay in their newest vehicles. So this is 2019 and newer. And when people saw this headline, they were pissed. Normally, BMW charged a $300 flat fee, and then you would just get CarPlay. Now, keep in mind, Honda, other companies that use CarPlay, they just give it to you with a brand new car. You don't even have to pay for it. They just include it, and I'm sure they pay a royalty to Apple. But BMW, in true BMW fashion, has said, how can we squeeze some more money out of our customers who we value so very much? They said, we know. Let's give them CarPlay for free, so now you don't have to pay for it, but we're going to charge you $80 a year to use a technology that I don't think they're paying a royalty to Apple on a yearly basis. So they're just reaping that money every single year on something that costs them literally nothing. And so if you want to use CarPlay, you got to pay BMW $80 every single year. So if you own the car for 10 years, you've given BMW $800 to use CarPlay. And needless to say, people were not happy about that. Even people who are BMW fans were like, this is taking it too far. This is taking it way too far. Like, you're clearly not needing to pay an annual fee to Apple for this. You're just doing this to squeeze one more drop of blood from the stone. And that just really singed my cojones. You know what I'm saying, Lewis?
I think I do. I don't like the visual image.
Well, you know what? You didn't have to visualize it. That was your problem. I did.
I had to.
Although it was very descriptive, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I would definitely own a BMW again, but I would never buy a used BMW. Terrible, terrible idea. If you're going to own a BMW, like if you lease one, great. If you're going to buy it brand new and own it while it's under warranty, great. I think they're fun cars. They're really fun to drive, but man, I mean, my car, it was originally a $60,000 car. I bought it for like, you know, $15,000 when it was older. And I did a lot of the work on it myself. I could not believe how cheap the components under the hood were. Everything's made from plastic, and so it all just breaks. It's so different from any experience I've had. Previously, I had only owned Japanese cars, and everything in there looks robust, feels robust. And then you pop the top on the BMW, and you're like, this is all like, you know, cheap Chinese plastic under here. I mean, it feels like it's built to break. And then eventually, you know, it does. Everything broke on that stuff. Quirky stuff that you would never believe. Like my windshield wiper fluid motor stopped working one day. I mean, I've never had a car where the windshield wiper motor broke. You know, seals, gaskets, constantly going bad. Anyway, not to beat a dead horse, but...
Why do you want to buy another one then if you hate it so much?
Well, I wouldn't mind it if it was under warranty. Actually, I loved the car. Yeah, they are fun. They are fun, yeah. Nothing drives quite like a BMW. I think Honda gets close, but nothing quite has that precise feel to it, just the feel of the steering and the acceleration and everything. Those Germans, let me just say, Leanne Dieter, he would love it. He'd be like, oh my goodness. Well, my acceleration is so fast, so wonderful in my hair.
It looks, I've always wanted a BMW. I always liked the way they look. And
Me too. I had a convertible too.
Oh, cool.
Jeez. Yeah, it's great. But that was one of my biggest fears. I was always thinking, when is the motor on the convertible top going to go bad? It's only a matter of time before something like that breaks, and it's going to be like, you know, $3,000 or $5,000 to fix it. So, word to the wise, everything you've ever heard about owning a used BMW is absolutely true. If you're not willing to turn the wrench yourself, then and you like working on cars, by all means, go for it. But if you're not willing to do that, get a Honda instead.
Just to go back to AirPlay, I mean, I was just thinking that, you know, a lot of ads for cars, like there's a Jeep campaign running right now with that actor, what's his face?
Will Ferrell?
Goodness. No. Anyway, there's an actor who everyone
Seth
knows.
Rogen?
No. He's in these ads for Jeep, and the ads are kind of all about, it's like CarPlay. CarPlay makes about, two or three appearances in this, you know, short 30-second ad. Seems to be one of the major selling points for these new Jeeps. And then all the different, you know, automakers crow about, like, CarPlay and Android Auto integration, right? So it is, I guess it's a selling point. That's why BMWs, they can charge for it, right? Because people want to get it.
Well, it certainly is a huge upgrade from the infotainment systems they put in the cars currently. The ones that they put in all these cars are so bad. And Apple came along and did it right and actually made it a pleasure to use. So I can understand why people would pay for it, but I wouldn't.
Yeah, and the new iOS 13 CarPlay is a big improvement. It's a lot better.
Have you been using that?
No. I watched Ian's video, which is pretty good.
Leander's Lamborghini is a 2018, so it didn't have that technology, Lewis. You know, when he upgrades next year, he'll get it.
Do you have CarPlay?
I had a CarPlay unit, but then someone stole it. My car got broken into, and they stole the head unit.
Just left behind a fresh human turd in its place.
which I with a crapper snapper, I took a picture and put it up on the internet.
I mean, I don't mind if they steal my stereo, but do you have to leave a turd inside the car? I mean, come on, jeez.
It's better than getting it. I mean, but you know, one time when someone broke into my car, they set it on fire. So I
just. Oh my
what?
Gosh.
Yeah. The whole interior burned out. Did I tell this horrible story one time?
I don't think so.
Anyway, the whole interior was burned out. It was a major, major pain.
That's the worst part about getting your car stolen. That same thing happened to me. And they left my car after they stole it and went on a joyride at like 175 miles an hour. They left it in a neighborhood with the windows down and the car was left on. So when I got to it, it was rain damaged and it was out of gas. And it was just a huge pain in my rear to get the thing towed and all that kind of stuff. And then I was driving it after the fact and it kept dying. And I was like, what is going on? I think there's a problem with my battery. So I took it to Costco where I bought the battery to get it replaced. And the guy opens up the hood and he's like, this isn't a Costco battery. I was like, what? Move over. So I look in there. Somebody had stolen my battery. But the funny part is they took the time to put their own battery back in its place. Well, I mean, what a nice guy. He's like, really, I don't want to screw the guy totally, right? Yeah. I want to steal his stuff, but I'm not going to leave him stranded.
Well, my daughter had a car stolen a couple of weeks ago, and we got it back about a week ago, like after about a week of the thieves having it. And her, you know, when she had it, it was a real pigsty. There was just rubbish everywhere, right? There was trash in all the footwells. It was, in fact, there was trash in the driver's footwell. And I made her clear it out because, like, she had like coffee cups and water bottles and stuff. And I'm like, if that rolls underneath your brake pedal, you know, you could really be in trouble.
Yeah.
It's super
dangerous.
You can't drive like a mobile pigsty like this. It's just, it's really unsafe. Anyway, when we got the car back, they'd cleaned all the trash out and they'd actually detailed it.
Wow.
It had all that nice, you know, that plastic that sheen stuff,
like, you know, Armor All.
Yeah, they make the plastic look better. The dash and the all the trim inside.
That's totally bizarre.
It's totally bizarre. And they left a vacuum cleaner in the back.
What?
A really bizarre HEPA vacuum cleaner. And there was an iPhone in the glove compartment. And then when I connected the iPhone, it said, like, you know, this is in DFU mode.
So it was stolen too.
Yeah, connected to iTunes.
Huh.
I guess it was stolen, but so I just did I couldn't find out any details on it. So I just did a restore and installed a fresh copy of iOS on it, and it works fine. But now I don't really know what to do with it.
Oh, you actually have an iPhone that works?
Yeah, it's an older one. It's an iPhone 7.
That's hilarious. Yeah,
they left a working iPhone in the
dashboard. Can you pop your SIM in and see if it actually works? Because I would imagine
it does. Yeah, I did that. I tested it. It does. It works fine.
That is totally strange.
Yeah.
There's a whole story there behind your car that we'll never know.
It was only a couple of blocks from my house, too. Oh, not a couple of blocks. It was probably less than a mile, like half a mile around, you know, like down the street behind Lowe's. Lewis knows where it is. They've been driving around for a week or so, you know, really weird.
They vacuumed it out. And this sounds like a really bad acid trip. Whoever stole your car had no idea what they were doing.
Yeah.
They took it for a joyride. They did some drugs. And when they were high as a kite, they suddenly felt like they needed to detail the car, right? And then they forgot their phone. That's exactly what happened. That had to have been what happened.
I think it sounds pretty likely, yeah. With that new HEPA vacuum cleaner, yeah. They really like did a nice good job on that.
It's like a Dyson. The guy left his Dyson behind, his cell phone.
There was no damage. Like, there was no damage to the window or the door. There was no damage to the ignition, even though they must have been jamming a screwdriver in there. Really kind of odd.
Oh, man.
So now we're kind of all paranoid that they're going to come and get it back, you know, because it's parked outside of our house where they stole it from the first place, you know.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, and he might be looking for his vacuum.
Yeah.
I paid a lot of money for that Dyson vacuum. Right. That was a gift from my girlfriend. All right, well, let's see here. We got to talk about this podcast app. But before we do that, I want to give a quick mention. I don't talk about this nearly often enough, but if you are a neat freak like me, if you like to keep your technology sparkling clean, like my MacBook Pro, there's not a fingerprint on it. If you look at the keyboard, it's not covered with grime and Cheeto dust and all sorts of weird short hairs like Leander's keyboard probably is.
Short hairs?
Yeah, you know, like nose hairs and little stuff falling off your face and stuff.
Okay.
You know what dander. I mean?
Dander.
Beard dander. Yeah, I definitely have a beard dander problem. That's for
sure. Oh, I bet. Yeah, definitely. Oh, that's right. Beard LK rough. Has a beard. I forgot about this. Do you still have it?
I do, yeah.
You look good with a beard, too. You should keep it. You should hold on. I think so, yeah. You got a nice face for a beard. Anyway, I digress here. Let's talk about your beard, how much I like it. This is getting weird. Let me move on. If you want to keep your technology sparkling clean, I suggest you head over to cultcloth.co. This is a product that I found probably 2-3 years ago, and I couldn't believe how well it works. It's the special type of microfiber, and they put it through these million-dollar machines, and it creates like this split fiber. It crushes the fiber and creates this dramatically huge surface area so that when you wipe it over your technology, it literally wipes off everything. You don't need to even use cleaning solutions or anything. You can just wipe it on your phone, on your Apple Watch, on your keyboard. Although with your keyboard, I do recommend you use like some cleaning solution just to kind of get all the grime off of it and stuff. And it works wonderfully well. You'll be shocked actually how well it works. And if you go to cultcloth.co and use Cultcast at checkout, you'll score a free 8x8 clean cloth with any order. Plus, you're helping to put a few ducats in my pocket, which I appreciate. And I use this product every single day on my sunglasses, on my MacBook Pro, on my iPhone, on my camera lenses. Any technology that you want to keep clean, this is the way to do it. Cultcloth.co, not .com, .co, and use code CULTCAST at checkout to score a free 8x8 clean cloth with your order. Okay. Lander, let's talk about Overcast adding the exact features I was complaining were missing from the podcast ecosystem. And then this proves, look, Marco Arment, he's a smart guy. There's no denying that. But he clearly listens to the show. And I have no doubt that he stole this idea. He heard me talk about it, and he's like, whoa, this guy is onto something. And he just kind of quietly introduced these suggestions into his Overcast app. I mean, how else could it have worked? The within days of me suggesting it, poof, all of a sudden, his app's been out for 2 years, and now all of a sudden, he gets the idea to add this to his app.
It's more than a coincidence.
There's no way this is a coincidence. But please, tell us about this, Leander.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, Overcast, you know, it's the podcast app of choice. It loves a good design, beautifully designed, really, really well done. It added a brand new recommendations feature. Previously, it used to use a Twitter-based recommendation engine. But Marco says almost nobody used it. So he's replaced it with recommendations based on users' personal listening habits. And the result is amazing. So he says, quote, podcasts in the new suggestions for you section of the ad podcast screen are based on the shows you subscribe to and what else their subscribers subscribe to, which gives much better recommendations without involving any social networks, end quote. And you know what this is, though? This is that old algorithm that Amazon used to use.
Mm-hmm.
What was it called?
That Amazon used to use.
It was famous. Like, back in the early days of the internet, there was this, you know, like, there was a big deal made about this recommendation algorithm that actually fairly, it does exactly what, you know, it says here. If you buy something, it looks at other people who bought the same thing, and then it recommends to you, you know, other things that they bought. And I can't remember the name of the algorithm.
Well, that's the first I've heard of it.
A9.
What?
A9.
A9?
Yeah, is that it? I don't know.
He's just making stuff up. No. A9. That was the previous one. It was A10, Lewis. A10.
Oh.
Or could have been A11 too. It's hard to say.
No, it's okay.
He's frantically trying to type it. And
here
Google
we go.
It.
Can you hear me typing?
Yeah. I also just know that's what you do. Yeah. Do you want me to vamp while you Google search this?
The reason I mention it, cause it's like, you know, like it's a kind of famous. It's got a. It's not. It doesn't have a technical name. It's called. Oh, heck.
Language.
I'm sure. Anyway, this is going to go nowhere. If anyone knows what it is, please tweet it to me.
and Leander will build a time machine and we'll insert it in the show.
And
re-record right
this episode, yeah. And I'll be able to come in there.
Do you, either of you guys use Overcast?
No.
Not really, so. To be honest.
Okay, well, I started using it probably 6 months ago. I was trying to force myself. I used Overcast in the past, and I liked it, but I liked Apple Podcasts more. In fact, I still kind of like Apple Podcasts, even though I have my little quibbles with it. But so I am using Overcast now. It's a great app, and the new suggestions feature actually does work really well. It's really interesting that Apple hasn't built this same type of technology into the podcast app. So when you're going to add a new episode in Overcast, there is a suggestions for you section right at the top, and if you click on it, you can tell that it's going to recommend, it's recommending podcasts that are very similar to the content that I'm subscribed to, and you can tell that it's pulling recommendations from people who are listening to content similar to me, because a lot of this content, some of it I've actually listened to before, and some of it I've heard of before, but I've never listened to, and then some of it I've never heard before in my life. But this is a great way to actually discover new shows, and you wouldn't believe it, but nothing else like this exists. This is probably the only podcast suggestion engine that's based upon your personal listening that exists out there that I know of. Maybe there's something else out there that I've never heard of before. And that's crazy. It's just totally crazy how bad discovery is for podcasts. So I wanted to give Overcast a plug, not like they need us to do this, but it's really a great app, and it's free. It's really well designed, and I like that it's not plastered with ads. There are a few things about it I don't like, which I won't get into now because I'm not trying to do a full like Overcast podcast review or a podcast player review, but check it out. It's on the store, and I'll have you know, when you're adding a new podcast, if you click on the technology section, scroll down just a few rows. Oh, look at that. The Cultcast. What do you know? We're just right there. So, that was just a little humble brag there. Okay. Maybe not so humble. Okay.
I found it out. It's called collaborative filtering.
Oh, there you go.
And it's a well-known technique. You know, it's in a whole bunch of stuff, of recommendation systems.
Collaborative filtering.
Catchy name.
Yeah, it is very catchy.
Ooh.
Oh, there's some interesting new podcasts here in the technology section. How interesting. Okay, well, let's wrap up with this last story here, Lewis, before I do, and then I'll do my tip and we'll move on to what we're into. There's a little bit of smoke going on over there in Cupertino, and it's coming out of Tim Cook's office. It's just a little bit of smoke, and you're like, what's he smoking in there? Because something's happening, and we keep thinking that this car project is dead. But then we get a story like this, and I say to myself, there's no way the project is dead if they're making hires like this. Am I right, Lewis?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, nobody aside from, you know, insiders who are sworn to secrecy really knows what Apple's planning to do with self-driving or driving, you know, cars in general, right? But they just keep making these moves that like, you know, it's like, I mean, it's obviously something is going on and it's something big, right? Recently, they lured another big name from Tesla. They hired this guy, Steve McManus. He's Tesla's former vice president of engineering. And now he works as a senior director at Apple. And he was responsible for engineering the interior of Tesla vehicles. And he also, in the past, worked for other big automotive companies like Aston Martin, Jaguar.
There you go.
And what's a vehicle?
What?
A vehicle.
How do you say it, Leander?
Vehicle.
Oh. That's how I say
vehicle.
Vehicle.
Is it rhymes with pickle? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, exactly. Not vehicle.
Really?
I don't mind your enunciation. You've got impeccable enunciation, Lewis.
I can't believe I'm being taken to task for pronouncing the word vehicle three syllables. Anyway, so, you know, basically, this just begs the question, what's going on with Project Titan? You've heard wild claims going both ways, you know. First Apple's, you know, they're totally cutting it back. They're not going to make a car. They're getting out of it. They've laid off everybody, you know. Then, you know, they've hired thousands of people. They're shifting their focus on these software. I mean, it's wild, wild, wild rumors, you know. But they've definitely, you know, they've got these cars. They've applied to test these cars. They've admitted it, you know. They've said we're working on this stuff. And they just keep hiring these big people. I mean, they bought self-driving startup Drive.ai. That was like in the past month or so. They've hired these other Tesla execs. I can't pronounce this one guy's name. Michael Schwikuch or something. I don't know. Former head of Tesla's electric powertrains. Mm-hmm. I mean, what, he's going to be working on the next iPod? I mean, you know, I suppose it's possible. You know, that's what some of the, you know, talk about this guy, this other guy. He's an industrial designer, right? This most recent guy, McManus. He said, well, maybe he's not going to work on a car. Maybe he's working on some other product. I suppose it's possible, but
see, that's what I mean. This is such a specific hire. I mean, the guy has a lot of experience designing the interior of cars. Can that experience translate into other products? Sure, but why would you go and specifically hire a guy who is high up at Tesla designing car interiors to work on what? The next iPhone?
HomePod
an iPhone
2.
Case, right? Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
He's probably looking at some iPhone socks.
What's that?
iPhone socks.
leather iPhone socks. Right. There you go. See, it just doesn't make any sense. What else could this guy be doing?
No, it's definitely. I think a lot of this stuff about, you know, I think Apple's throwing up you know, misinformation about and trying to play this down. But Cooks, you know, said that he calls it a, what did he say? You know, like it's a. He's tried to portray it as a broader automation project.
The mother of all AI projects, I think, is what he called self-driving cars. Right.
Yeah. Which is probably true, because I'm sure that the AI technology and the different algorithms and networks and stuff like that, the neural nets that they're building would, and machine learning would be applicable to other areas. But they're definitely working on, you know, a vehicle, and more than that, they're working on, you know, figuring out how to make it. Mm-hmm. You know, these are sort of like. You know, like the first guy to run it was really an operations expert, you know, and that, which sort of suggested that they've gone beyond the prototype stage and they're looking into the, you know, the manufacturing part of it.
McManus was responsible for the engineering of the interior of Tesla vehicles. I just read this again from the story.
Which is really, they're really highly rated too. People love the interiors of the Tesla vehicles.
Yeah, I like those white leather interiors. Sexy. Okay. All right. Let's, before we move on to an all new What We're Into, let me give a quick tip that I stumbled onto this week that I've been using with people in Apple Messages, and everyone's like, how are you doing this? And it's something they announced not long ago, but no one knows that it's there and no one ever uses it. And that is using messaging effects. And if you've never used messaging effects, there's a whole ton of them. And if you open up the messaging app and you're texting someone, right, like you type something in there that says, hi, how are you? I'm doing this on my phone. And then there's that little send button on the right that you normally just tap and it will send your message. But if you, instead of tapping it, if you hold it, it will bring up the message effect menu screen. And there are all these different effects that you can use with your specific message. There are different kind of bubbles or different kind of effects that send your message in a stylized way, or you can hit the screen button and then you can swipe through this entire array of different full screen effects that will show up on your user screen when you send the message. Like there is one that makes the message appear in all these little bubbles all over their screen. There's a spotlight effect. There is like a birthday effect with balloons and confetti flying everywhere. Like all this cool stuff. Ooh, laser show. There's a laser show effect, which you can send to your friends on 420, you know.
That's funny. I totally forgot about this thing.
Right. I know. Everybody forgot about this.
It looks like they've added some new ones, too.
There are. There's some nice ones
that
in here. I'm telling you.
That spotlight one was, I don't remember seeing that the last time I poked in on that.
I used that one. Oh, no, not the spotlight one. I used the, let's see here, which one? It's the one that fills the whole screen with effects. What do they call this one? The echo effect, the very first one. I use that one all the time. Like whenever anyone asks me what I want to eat for dinner, I use a slice of pizza emoji, and then I use the send with echo effect, so it fills their whole screen with pizza slices, and you know what? They get the message.
That's I never thought about that. That's awesome, using that with an emoji. I mean, that's some next tip. Level messaging, man. You need to write this tip up right now.
Next level messaging. NLM. That's my acronym. I just adopted it. All right, so hopefully that helps you impress your friends, family, and future potential spouses. Let's move on to an all-new What We're Into, because the show, you know, just hasn't gone quite long enough. We're almost an hour. Let's just take it to 2 hours. This is becoming that Seinfeld episode where they're driving that car to see how far they can go before it runs out of gas. Let's shake it off. We got to re-energize. Let's do an all-new What We're Into. This is the segment where we talk about the stuff that, oh, my, Lewis, you're out of control. You are.
Lewis sent me the poop one.
Okay, all right. Well, I
don't think it worked though, Lewis. It didn't work.
Yeah, I know. It didn't. I don't understand.
You messed it up.
No.
I got the pizza.
I need to read the full tip.
Yeah. How could you screw that up? It's so easy.
Here, Lewis. I'll show you how to do it. I'm gonna screw.
Oh, this is terrible. I did it again. It looks just like San Francisco. It's raining poo.
That effect is made especially for San Francisco. They should actually just build that in, the San Francisco message effect, where you just fills your whole screen with flying turds. Okay, what we're into. I got two, so let's do a little sandwich here. I'll do one, and then Lewis or Leander, you can go next, and then I'll bring us home. I'll take us home, because I got two, right? Okay, first one's first. Jeez, which one do I do first? All right, tell you what, I'll start with this one. I found a YouTube channel this week that I can't get enough of. I've been binge watching it because they've got all these episodes stacked up on there, and they're all like, you know, 15 minutes long. And so when I discovered it, I just went through and watched the entire back catalog, which you don't do very often. You know, usually you just start wherever they are presently and then just keep going. Do you guys know who Jack Black is?
Yeah.
Jack Black. He's probably one of the only celebrities in Hollywood that could actually do this. He started his own YouTube channel called Jablinski Games. And I think it was supposed to originally be him playing like video games and stuff. And that was the whole point of it. And I guess his son made him start a YouTube channel. But it's turned out to be way better than that, because he hardly ever games on his channel. You just basically follow him around in his life and you get to see how he lives his life. And he's entertaining by himself. I actually really like Jack Black a lot. He's a really talented guy. But then you get to see just how he lives, which I find to be fascinating, because he is this really popular. Would you guys consider him A-list? I think he's kind of an A-list celebrity, wouldn't you say? And you know, he's got all this money.
Definitely a big name.
He's definitely a big name. Maybe a B+ list, you know. But he gives you access to his entire life. So his kids are there, his wife's there, and there's this one episode where he is traveling because he has this band called Tenacious D.
Oh yeah.
And they're going to be touring in the UK. So he's like, I'm going to pack. So he goes into his bedroom and you get to see his bedroom. There's like, clearly he didn't clean up or anything. It's completely unpolished, unproduced. Huh. And then he goes into his closet and you get to see like Jack Black's closet and you could see all his t-shirts and stuff. And then he's like, oh, this is my CPAP machine. And he shows you like, he's got like these two CPAP. So it's really weird because he shares so much. It's stuff that most people would not share, especially really, you know, famous people who are quite secretive.
Not if they want to be A-list. That's just more like C-list.
Right. It's really, and then he like shows you like his underwear and stuff. So I don't even know how it's a really intimate insight into what Jack Black's life is like. And plus it's also just hugely entertaining because Jack Black is entertaining. And he is a millionaire, you know, so he doesn't have like a 9-to-5 job. He's just always home with his kids and his family. He's just always there. So he's always going places with his kids and they're constantly going to like Disneyland and like Magic Mountain and stuff. It actually sounds amazing just to be that rich where you can just spend all your time like going around to like amusement parks with your family and stuff. So check it out. If I piqued your interest, if I whet your appetite, if your beard is getting moist, check it out. It's on YouTube. It's Jablinski Games. Jablinski Games. I'll include a link in the show notes if you want to check it out. I think they're on like episode like, I don't know, 20 or 25 or something. And I was going to say one last thing. Few celebrities could do this. Most celebrities, when they're not reading from a script, are actually really, really boring people. And Jack Black is actually entertaining no matter what he's doing, which is kind of his magic. He turns boring material into really entertaining material. So
seems like a super funny guy. Yeah. Is it funny watching him?
Oftentimes,
just straightforward.
Sometimes it is funny, but sometimes it's like
here's my sock drawer.
Yeah, exactly. It's right. It's intriguing because it's strange that he's being
like the Truman Show, you know. Is it like, yeah, you know, he's really opening up? This is like a throwback to those early sort of streaming experiments, right? Remember when people would like, you know, live their lives 24 hours on camera and it was supposed to be all unmediated and like Justin Khan, Justin Cam and stuff like that. Although this sounds like a little more. Does he edit the videos or is it the sort of?
Yeah, the videos are actually edited really well. He hired an editor to do that stuff for him.
Okay.
And he's actually an entertaining person. So, you know, a lot of people are just boring when they do their vlogs. You just don't want to watch it because their lives are totally boring. But he's got a unique, interesting life. I mean,
play any games?
Yeah, he plays board games too, and he plays video games, but I found the video games to be the most boring part. Huh. Anytime he plays a game, I just fast forward through the whole thing because he's not able to stream games in an entertaining way. He becomes too absorbed in the actual game. And so you're just literally watching a guy play a game and you're like, this is boring. I don't want to see this. You know?
That's funny.
So my favorite parts are when he's not gaming, but he also plays like interesting board games and stuff, so it's a fun channel. All right, Lewis, you want to take us, well, not take us home, but go next.
Yeah. So what I'm really into this week is the Mueller testimony. No, just
I thought you were serious. could you repeat that? Yeah.
No.
Yes, I refer you to the report. I've already written that.
Correct.
It's in the report.
Correct.
It's riveting testimony.
Very, very, very much, yeah.
Yeah. So I think we should start calling this segment, instead of, you know, what we're into, we start calling it, you know, shows that I just started watching after meaning to for 5 years or whatever.
Yeah.
I started watching this show called Peaky Blinders. You ever heard of this one?
I have heard of it because Leander pitched it about 2 years ago.
Oh, really? Maybe I should just back away from the microphone. I don't know. I'd never heard that. I guess I never heard Leander talk about it.
Well, you may not have been on the show when he talked about it.
Yeah,
but it's definitely something that he talked about before. Or maybe it wasn't. It actually might have been Buster. It might have been Buster. So in any case,
anyway,
that's okay.
Well,
and that's okay. Please continue because it was a while ago.
There might be one or two people out there who didn't listen to every single episode.
There's probably
of Cultcast. Anyway,
yeah.
It's possible. So this is it's a show based on this gang called Peaky Blinders in, I guess, 1920s is where it's set. Birmingham, England. Or, I'm sorry, is it Birmingham? I probably pronounced that wrong,
too.
Don't let him get in your head, Lewis. You just say it however you want.
So into my head with the whole thing. And so the thing I really love about this show, I mean, it's great. You know, it's just like the street gang, like, kind of coming into the, you know, they're bookies and they're, I guess, they're, what other kind of crimes? They're bootlegging and crap, like all this kind of low-level stuff. And they're led by this guy named Thomas Shelby, and he's got two brothers, and they're just he's a real striver. He wants to be more in control. He wants to take out other bookmakers. He wants to expand into London. You know, he's got all these big plans, and it's just a great show. It's really gritty. It does a great job of showing this, like, you know, kind of hellish industrial landscape of Birmingham, and it's just a great show, man. It's excellent, moody feeling. You know, they're walking down the streets, and there's just like fires everywhere. And the, you know, is it smelting? I don't even know what it is, Leander. You've watched this show. It's just like it almost looks like a vision of hell. And you know, it the writing's great, the acting's great. Cillian Murphy plays Thomas Shelby. He's pretty good, and Sam Neill plays this Irish, what is he, some kind of Irish cop inspector. He gets promoted over time. I don't remember exactly what his title is, but it's just a really great show, and it's one of these British shows that, you know, there's only six episodes in a season. So you can just kind of burn through a season and, you know, in a couple of weeks of exercise, right, on your exercise machine. Because I know that's what you're all doing with your Apple Watches on.
Watching iTunes movies.
The thing I really love about it, though, really, like, almost more than anything, is it's got all this slang. And it's just fascinating to go, what did they say, you know, and go and look it up and just
next you watch thing you it know, with the subtitles on?
Yeah, I do watch it with the subtitles on too. Yeah, and it's
it's
like,
in English though. That's hilarious.
Right. Well, it's in English.
Yeah.
And in Irish, it's great accents and great dialogue and just really deep rabbit hole of crazy slang from that, you know, stuff. There was one scene I was telling Leander about it and where, you know, these guys are from, I guess, what's Northern England? Is that what Birmingham is? Northern
Midlands,
England?
Really?
The Midlands, okay.
Right, the Midlands, yeah.
So at one point they go down to London to try to make a big splash and you know, kind of get the attention of these London mobsters, right? And they walk into this club and one of the guys says, you know, what's that racket? You know, he's a little bit, I don't know exactly what he said. I'm pretty sure there was some swearing involved, but you know, it's like, oh, that's the jazz music that's on the bandstand. And I thought that line was just so awesome. You know, what's that racket? He's like, can you imagine a point where, like, a jazz band is, like, obnoxious, like some kind of death metal? You know, you have this visceral, like, oh, my God, what is that sound? I don't know. I thought it really captured the moment of this thing and gave you insight into this thing and in a great way. You know, they didn't have to, like, bemoan it or, you know, I'm just not, like, you know, constantly. He didn't make a big thing. It was one line tossed off, you know, but it was like, wow, that is powerful writing.
I think I've had that reaction to some jazz music myself, actually. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, cool. All right, Leander.
Well, I want to second Lewis's recommendation. It is a great show. I was, I said before on this podcast. Good pick, Lewis.
As I mentioned before when I pitched it, yeah.
I had about 6 hours to figure out what I was into, and so I just decided to go ahead and go with something I've actually been watching. You know, I didn't. That's it. That's the only
fine.
Thing I've been watching the last
couple
weeks.
That's so. All you got to do is just go with something.
That's all I can do.
I didn't want you to fabricate anything.
No fake news here on the cult cast.
Yeah, that's right. Very rarely, anyway. Well, you know. We try not. once a week, max. All right, Leander, what do you got?
Lewis, you said you bet you know what it is. What is it?
I thought it was going to be the Mueller report.
Oh, really?
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. That was my joke. That was a joke. I have no idea what you're into, Leander, unless it's, you know, that Twitter feed of where people have been pooping around San Francisco.
I'm sure you can guess it. I've been watching the Tour de France. I've been watching hours and hours of the Tour de France.
You're kidding.
Which I think is, you know, like, it drives everyone crazy. Like, my wife and my kids, they're like, oh my God, they just cannot understand why I'm watching this stuff. But it you know, you record it, and each stage is about 5 hours. So it's about 5 hours of guys racing around France. So I think, you know, it's definitely a bit of an acquired taste. But
I'll say.
You know, there's two things. One is the constant, and one is like special this year. The one thing is like it's just tourist porn. It's just like it's you know, French countryside porn. It's so beautiful. You get these amazing shots of France, you know, from the helicopters, and that is it, and it's such a beautiful and diverse country. You know, it's like going to France, sitting in your living room, you know, just sort of watching these panoramic helicopter shots, and then these shots of all these riders racing through it. It's a great joy just to look at France, right? Just to sort of, you know, you just sort of feel like you're in France. And then this year, it's really exciting because it's the race is wide open. Like in previous years, you know, they've had dominant teams, dominant players, and it kind of tends to get a bit round up, and the drama can be at a minimum. But this year, they're really battling it out, and there's a whole bunch of people that could win it. So it's a real, genuine race. So it makes it really super exciting. Like, I'm really totally into just seeing, you know, how the whole thing plays out, much more so than previous years. But yeah, that's my choice. Tour de France, 5 hours a day. To be honest, I watch most of it and fast forward.
It's still 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I get about an hour, I think, you know, hour and a half, depending on, like, you know, how interesting it is. Because I'll often sort of, you know, like, it's on fast forward, and I see something I want to watch. Actually, weird enough, I watch all the interviews of the races. You know, like when they get a race run. We used to have this when I was a kid, when I was in college. One of our favorite tapes, VHS tapes, was all these post-fight interviews with all these punch-drunk boxers. So when they get beaten up, they'd ask them, you know, how they film the camera, and they'd be like, oh, God, I got to get out of the hospital. I cuts. I got blood in my eyes, you know, and then they'd be like, oh, he was great. And they'd be all over the place. So it's actually super entertaining. And sometimes these interviews with these writers are kind of entertaining too, although more often than not, they're not. You know, it's like anytime you get a sports guy interviewed, right, all they do is they can just talk in cliches, like these locker room cliches.
Yeah.
And you tend to get that in cycling as well. But every now and again, there's something will come up. But, you know, anyway, so I stop it, you know, to watch like a castle or something like that, the helicopter fly around the castle, or like a particular exciting stage where they're racing up a section of the mountain. Yeah, but I recommend it. It's on NBC.
And I recommend you don't watch it. I recommend you actually do something useful with your time. It's totally a you sport, though. I mean, you yourself being a mammal and being really into cycling as much as you are, and having a, you know, $10,000 super bike. But then it's interesting because it's a mixture between that and your strange erotic love of ASMR, because it's just like, there he goes. He's on his bike. He's riding. And it's like really the wind.
It's definitely not an ASMR experience. It's definitely different to that.
It is?
Yeah.
Because it kind of sounds like it's a really quiet sport, like golf. It's like, oh, he hit the ball. There it goes.
The ridiculous commentators really try to get themselves wound up. Because it's so, they have to get super excited about anything happening, right? You know.
Because it is so boring.
And they've got to fill 5 hours of airtime. So, you know, anytime anything remotely exciting happens, they go mental and they start, like, you know, jabbering about it for hours.
Look at him pedal. Oh, right. Man, he's really pedaling fast.
His cadence has really gone up, you know. That's exactly the kind of thing they do talk about. Yeah, so they're kind of desperate. But it's not an ASMR experience, but it is, you know, like compelling.
It's like a relaxing thing to watch, I would imagine.
You know, as much as, yeah, because I'm sitting on my ass in front of the TV, so
watching it and fast forward.
Lying on the couch.
Lying on the couch watching all these guys exercise their asses off.
Right.
Okay, well, let me take us home, because this show is turning into a Lord of the Rings extended edition here. So the very last thing I want to talk about was premiered at San Diego Comic-Con, which there were a bunch of interesting, intriguing movies that got revealed this week, but the thing that really got me emotional was the Star Trek Picard reboot trailer. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I got about 10 seconds into the trailer and I was like, I paused it and I was like, I think I'm going to cry.
Really?
I got very emotional.
Yeah. I saw other people with the same reaction.
Just that Star Trek The Next Generation show was really huge amongst a certain age group of people. And Captain Picard was a very fatherly figure. And he had this relationship with some of the characters in the show where he was constantly providing guidance. And I was a young, impressionable age at that time. And I was really into the show. And so I feel like that he has that fatherly figure, even though he completely disappointed me at our encounter at Emerald City Comic-Con, where he refused to acknowledge my existence. But I've forgiven him for that. And I was watching the trailer, and to be honest, I'm not totally sure if I'm going to love the storyline. Some of the stuff I saw, I was like, oh, I don't know, this is questionable. But they brought back some characters from the show, and at the very end sequence, they reintroduced Data, which is one of my favorite characters of all time, and Brent Spiner plays Data, and I got the chills. Brent Spiner is reprising his role as Data, I think a very difficult character to play, because you have to play it in a very realistic but robotic way. And the guy hasn't played the character in, I don't know, 25 years. And boom, he nailed it. Every single affectation, the way he moved his body, it was exactly like it was. He didn't miss a beat. It was just like it was in Star Trek The Next Generation. I just fell in love all over again with Brent Spiner. Wow. That guy is such an incredible actor. He has such a broad range of talent, and to be able to reprise that role after that amount of time, he did it better. I have to admit this. He did it better than Jean-Luc Picard did. He did it better than Patrick Stewart did. Patrick Stewart, he's getting older, and he still felt like he was Picard, but he wasn't as Picard as Brent Spiner was Data. So I'm very excited.
I'm going to have to watch this show. I kind of thought it was going to be like a prequel, but it's like 20 years later or something?
Yeah, exactly. What is Captain Picard doing now? And I think the premise is, they don't really talk a lot about the story, but the premise is Captain Picard, when he was on the Enterprise, he was always conflicted about whether or not he should be on the Enterprise or whether or not he wanted to go home to like this beautiful... he lived in like a vineyard. I don't even remember what country it was in. It might have been the U.S. It might have been France, because he had a very romantic soul. So the idea of living on this vineyard amongst his family, and there were some family issues happening, was very romanticized in his mind. And now the idea is he is done with being a captain of a starship, and he's gone home, and now he can't stop yearning to go back to space. So he's conflicted again. And so I think there's like that dynamic of does he go back? What should he do? How should he be living his life? Because he doesn't feel like he's at home in his home.
So I would live there. It looked pretty cool. He's got drones like growing grapes in his vineyard. And
yeah, if you're going to have a vineyard, that's the way to go.
Right.
It's not like an old guy trying to break out of a nursing home or nothing, right?
Well, let's wait till they get to season two or three. When he's in the Star Trek highly advanced nursing home, he's got to break out.
I used to be an astronaut.
Okay.
I would have to watch it.
Yeah, anyway, check out the trailer. I will put a link to it in the show notes. I watched it like four times in a row.
Wow.
Just back to back to back to back, because it was highly emotional for me.
Did you see that people are ranking the different Star Trek series in order of... And didn't it come up? Wasn't that the top one?
Star Trek The Next Generation? I would be shocked if it wasn't. Anyway, I think we should go ahead and wrap it up there, because we've been going for an hour and 30 minutes now, and there's virtually no wind left in my sails. We're sputtering towards the finish here. It's like it's turning into a 5-hour episode of Tour de France. all of our listeners didn't sign up for this. So let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week. But if you want to come talk to us about any of the stories we mentioned on today's show, we are all on Twitter. I'm at Airfon. Leander is at L. Caney. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. This has been the Coldcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Coldcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. That was my Jean-Luc Picard.
Oh. Engage.
Yeah, but you can't say engage.
Make it so.
Yeah.
Just to disengage.
Disengage. Earl Grey, hot. I love him. I love him. I was so shattered that he didn't want to put his arm around me at our encounter at Comic-Con. But I'm just happy he didn't call security and have me tased when I put my arm around him.
Set taser to stun.
Set tasers. No. He would have had him set them to kill, yeah, for touching him. And I looked at the picture and I was horrified. I couldn't believe it. But, you know, that's what you do when you're taking a picture with someone. Like, I'm not one of those weird, awkward picture takers, even though it probably these days it's probably smarter to do this just to keep your hands at your sides and have like that weird gap. No, I put my arm around you. You
full
know,
Joe so Biden?
I go full Joe. I sniffed his. Maybe, now, wait a second. Now it's coming back to me. Maybe this is why he was upset. I did nuzzle his earlobe with my nose.
Ooh.
Do you think that was a bad call?
Yeah, were you smelling his hair? Oh, wait, he doesn't have any.
I sniffed his scalp. I went just right down his scalp, right from the top of his forehead to the back of his neck. My nose was shiny for 2 days after that.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Boy, you think that offended him?
Could be.